All right, well, our children can be dismissed at this time. To Children's Church. And as they are going, you can open up your Bible to Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14 is where we are going to be today. Luke chapter 18. So, I'm going to attempt something here. I'm going to tell a joke, and if it's not funny, give me a courtesy laugh at the end, okay? So there was once a man who was driving down the road, and he came behind this truck that was pulling a trailer. And he began to notice that that the door on the back was swinging around. And so he began to get a little bit nervous about this. He thought, I don't know what's in there, but the door is swinging. And so if there is an animal in there, it's going to jump out. And then all at once, a baby pig jumped out of the back of this trailer. And so the man swerves and he misses the pig, and he goes out to the side of the road where the pig is, and he looks at this pig, and believe it or not, it wasn't hurt. It was doing all right. And so he picked up this baby pig and he put it in the back of his car. And so he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to drive really, really fast, and I'm going to try to find this truck and this trailer. And if I can find this truck and trailer, I can give this pig back to this man. So he's flying down the road and he's breaking the speed limit, and there's a police officer on the side of the road. And the police officer, of course, goes after him, turns his lights on, pulls him over, and he walks up to the car and he says, why are you driving so fast? And he says, well, if you'll look in my back seat, you'll see that I have a pig in my back seat. And I'm trying to catch this man who lost this pig. He's driving a truck and a trailer. I'm trying to find where he's at. I'm trying to catch him. And so the police officer says, listen. He says, I can't have you speeding down the road over a pig. He's like, here's what you got to do. About 2 miles down the road, there's a zoo. Just take that pig to the zoo. He said, okay, I can do that. And so the next day, the police officer is driving along. He looks over at a gas station, and there's that car, and there's the man who had found that pig. And he's over there, and he's filling up his gas. So this the police officer pulls over, and he says, sir, how's it going? You know, I was the police officer you spoke to yesterday. He said, yes, I remember that. I remember us talking. And he looked in the back seat, and there was that pig again. And he said, didn't I tell you to take that pig to the zoo? And the man said, yeah, I took him to the zoo, and we had so much fun that today we're going to the beach. Thank you. All right. Feel like Jerry Seinfeld. Okay, now, there was a purpose behind that story, okay? I'm gonna make it really spiritual here. Here it comes. James 1:22 says this. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read it to you. And it's a popular verse. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And so what happened with this guy is he heard the message, but he didn't understand. Therefore, he wasn't able to apply the message. Did you like that? I made a connection there, right? So as we open God's word, we must always be praying to that end. God, help me to understand so that I can apply this to my life. And we're going to be looking, like I said, at Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. And so I will read it for us. It says, he also, speaking of Jesus, told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners and unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down from his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for your truth that you have given us. Lord, help us to understand and apply this word to our lives. And just give us wisdom as we look at it today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So, there's not a whole lot that we can say in way of introduction to this parable, because I think Jesus gives us the best introduction in verse 9 whenever he says that this is a parable about those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. So Jesus gives us the introduction right there, that what we are about to see is an example of pride, and we're also going to see an example of humility. And let me say this, upon studying these two subjects, everything, you know, I say everything, but the things that the Bible has to say about pride and the things that the Bible has to say about humility, what I found is that the Bible has a lot to say about the disadvantages of pride and the wonderful, wonderful blessings that come with humility. You know, I heard somebody say once that money is talked about more than any subject in the Bible. But I don't know if that's true. Think about pride. Think about how much that issue is addressed in the Word of God. And think about how many examples we have in the Word of God of people who are prideful. And so we have to realize today, as we look at this, that there is a danger to pride and that there are benefits to humility. So first of all, let's define our terms. What is pride? Well, I believe we actually find the answer to that again in verse 9 when Jesus said that there was some people who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. See, this is what pride is. Pride is having an exalted, unbiblical, unhealthy view of yourself. That is what pride is. It is exalting yourself. So that's a basic definition of what it is. Now, humility, on the other hand, humility is the opposite of that. It is when we have a correct view of ourselves. It's when we see ourselves the way Scripture sees us. When we see ourselves as not perfect. I hate to break it to you. We're not always right. We don't always have the answers. When we see ourselves the way that Scripture sees us, that is when we see humility. The theologian John Stott said, at every stage of our Christian walk and in every sphere of our Christian discipleship, pride is our great enemy and humility is our great friend. And if that statement is true, then we need to be seeking to live humble lives and resist pride. The first thing I want us to see, and it's point one there, is that pride weakens our relationship with God. Pride weakens our relationship with God. Five times in this man's prayer, the prayer of the Pharisee, he says the word I. Five times he says the word I. And what that tells us is that his prayer was never really directed towards God. His prayer was never directed towards God. It was always directed towards himself. He was looking to glorify himself. Have you ever met somebody that just talks about themselves a lot? Now, we know that these people are really some of the most frustrating people to be around. You know, that they want to talk about everything they've done, everything they're doing, and everything they're about to do. And whenever we come across these people, what we always want to say to them is, listen, occasionally, to quote the great poet Toby Keith, I want to talk about me. Or anything other than you would be fine. You know, people that have an exalted view of themselves are some of the most frustrating people that we can be around. And the reason for that is because they are so focused upon themselves that they cannot look at the world around them. And that's what pride does. In our relationship with God, your relationship with God is not primarily about you. Your relationship with God primarily is about God. God is to be the center of your relationship with him. When Jesus gives his model prayer in Matthew 5, he begins with the words, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed or holy is your name." God is the hero of our stories, not us. And that's why humility is so important and pride is so dangerous, because what pride does is it distorts our view of God to where we no longer see him as all perfect, all knowing, and all good, but we begin to take that place. We begin to stand in God's place. And when we depend on ourselves, there is no way we can depend on God at the same time. Therefore, we must resist pride for the sake of our relationship with the Lord. Proverbs 16:18 tells us that pride comes before destruction. Some of you all may have memorized that as pride comes before the fall. Either way, it's not good. I believe that there has never been anything good that the Lord has done that pride has not tried to destroy. If you look at the fighting that goes on inside churches, the source is pride. Somewhere pride can be found. If you look at the fall of well-known Christian leaders from the past and from present, all throughout history, pride is the source. If you look at Christian families who fall apart, you can find pride. If you look at every church split in the history of church splits, you will find pride at the center of that. You see, if we as Dallasburg Baptist Church could look to God and look away from ourselves, we can be a church that is a powerhouse for the gospel. But as long as we say that it's about us, that it's about individual needs, it's about me, as long as we're saying that, God cannot move the way he wants to move. We have to let him work. And we have to do that by killing pride. Isaiah 14 gives us the story of Satan's fall. And here's what it says in verses 13 through 14. I want you to hear these words. This is what Satan said. He said, "I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High." Who does that sound like in our parable in Luke 18? I. We must kill I. We must die to ourselves. That is the call of the gospel. So therefore, we must be killing pride. The second thing I want us to see here is that humility strengthens our relationship with God. If it is true that pride weakens our relationship, then the opposite of that has to be true. Humility strengthens our relationship with God. Humility strengthens it. And here's why. Pride and humility cannot stand each other. Does anybody in here have kids that have completely opposite personalities? You may have kids like that. Most people, right? You find that a lot of times, right? Siblings are usually not the same. And what you find is that when you have two people, whether they're kids or adults, that are complete opposites, sometimes they fight. Sometimes they see things differently. And that can cause some major issues. And some of you all, you parents, you know exactly what I'm talking about in your home. It can cause major, major issues. Think about pride and humility as two people that have completely opposite personalities. Completely opposite personalities. They cannot live with one another. I want us to look at James chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. And I think we're going to see that plainly as we look at this scripture. James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. This is what it says. "God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble." And here's the key for us in verse 7. "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Did you catch that? There is a direct connection between pride and sin and humility and victory over your sin. That's what verse 7 says. It says, if you submit yourself or humble yourself, therefore, to God, you resist the devil and he will flee from you. If you are striving towards humility, you will have victory over your sin. But if pride is taking over your life, then sin will take over your life. I want to challenge you with something to think about pride in a way you've never thought about it before. Anytime you sin, no matter what the sin is, if it's anger, lust, selfishness, whatever the sin is, at the very same time, you are committing the sin of pride. You are committing the sin of pride. And the reason I say that is because whenever we sin, here's what we're saying. God, I know better. I know better than you. I know what your word says, but I'm going to go my way. I'm going to do my thing. You see, anytime we sin, it is an act of pride. That's why it's so dangerous. We look at this man's pride in Luke chapter 18, and it is an extravagant pride. I mean, he's throwing it out there. You know, as they say, you know, when it comes to his pride, Ray Charles could see it, you know. He is throwing it out there. Everybody can see this man is full of pride. But we have to be careful, because I think a lot of times what happens is that our pride is much more subtle. We may not be like this man and stand outside on the corner out here and talk about how great we are, but a lot of times our pride is so much more subtle. Whenever we are okay with our sin, that's a subtle pride in our hearts. Whenever we have an attitude that we know best and that everyone else is wrong, even if we don't come out and say it, that's pride in our hearts. Our pride is very subtle. And Satan is very sneaky. And he likes to sneak it into our lives. So we may not be like this man who's just standing on a corner hollering out these things about how great he is, but deep inside, we say those things. I don't want you to miss this. In verse 7 of James chapter 4, when he says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you, he is talking about a daily process. He is talking about humbling yourself each and every day. Humble yourself by praying. It's an act of humility. Humble yourself by reading scripture and depending upon God's word. That's an act of humility. Humble yourself by being engaged with the church family. Not just coming to church on Sunday mornings, but being engaged with the church family. Holding one another accountable. This is all acts of humility. And if we'll do these things, then we'll continue to strive towards humility. But if we neglect these things, pride will take over. I talk to people all the time who tell me things like, you know, I just don't feel the connection that I used to with God. Or I'm struggling with sin that I feel like I can't get over. Well, are you humbling yourself enough to read God's word every day to say, God, I can't do this, but you, I don't have the answers, but you have the answers. Are you humbling yourself enough to pray and not just, now lay me down to sleep and thank you for this food? Are you praying to God like you are his child and depending upon him like you are his child? And are you accountable to other believers who love you very, very much? You see, we must humble ourselves. And I want to say one thing here about humility and the church. This is something that I'll throw in. I won't charge you a dime for it. We need to be humble before our church family. We need to be humble toward one another. We have to realize, first of all, we have to realize that we don't have all the answers. None of us have all the answers. If you think me and Tim have all the answers, you are crazy. And some of you are like, yeah, we knew that. But we have to be humble towards one another, and we have to realize that we don't all have the answers. We're all in this together. We're all saved by God's grace, still struggling against the flesh, still struggling against sin. We are in this with you. We're all in this together. We have to be patient towards one another. We don't have all the answers. Another thing, we're all in desperate need of God's grace. And listen to this. We all need to be gracious to one another. Receive grace and give grace. Receive grace and give grace. And this is the big thing. This is a humbling thought for the church. And you've got to realize this. You are a part of something here at Dallasburg that is so much bigger than you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. We must have humility in the church toward one another. All right, let's look at our final point here. Humility leads to repentance. Humility always leads to repentance. What the tax collector did was he prayed a prayer that should be the prayer of our lives. Show mercy upon me. I am a sinner. You see, when we have a right view of ourselves and we see ourselves the way Scripture sees us, we will repent daily because we realize that daily we need God's grace. And as Jesus ends this, he says, I tell you, in verse 14, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. Why? Because he was not depending upon himself, but he was depending completely upon God's grace. Completely on God's grace. He said, God, I don't stand a chance. I deserve wrath. I deserve hell. Show mercy upon me. That has got to be the prayer of the Christian's life. God, let me see your grace. We've got to have a right view of ourselves, see who we are and see who God is. The Bible gives one remedy for forgiveness of sins, and that is humble repentance. Humble repentance. Jesus said, repent and believe. The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. Mark 1:15. Humble repentance is the only way that when you die, you will spend eternity with God. Let me be very clear about this. God does not care how many churches you've been a member of. When it comes to your salvation, if somebody asks you to give a testimony and you begin to tell them your history, your track record of all the churches you've been to, that is not a story of God's grace and redemption. You will have eternal life by Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone, or you will not have it at all. Repentance is the key. So what keeps people from coming to salvation? What keeps Christians living in their sin? It is pride. So the question is, what do we do about it? Well, that's easy because we have the answer right here. What did the tax collector do about it? He depended upon God and he wasn't looking at himself. He said, God, I need grace. I need mercy. That's the answer. That's how we can live humble lives, by not depending upon ourselves, but looking to Christ alone. Repentance is not just throwing up a cheap, I'm sorry. Repentance is a turning from your sin and a clinging to Jesus. That's what repentance is. So here's what I want us to do for just a second. There in verse 13, it says the tax collector standing far off would not even lift up his eyes to heaven. Replace the word tax collector with your name and ask yourself this question. Is that the cry of my heart? God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Or do you fall more into the category of the Pharisee who was thinking a whole lot more about himself than he was God? What I want us to see from this today is that pride is so dangerous. But God gives grace to the humble. So as we look at this text and we think about the dangers of pride, the blessings of humility, we need to look deep within ourselves on an individual level and say, God, where is there pride in my heart? And maybe for some of you all, pride is the reason that you have never surrendered your life to Christ. Because you've never been willing to step off the prideful throne of your heart and let Christ take over. And for some of us who are believers, we need to be more faithful to engage in the war against pride and the striving towards humility by God's grace. And kill pride wherever we see it in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this day you've given us. Thank you for grace and mercy. Thank you so much for your love that you show toward us. And Father, we know that pride is so dangerous. So God, I just pray that you would help us to fight against it, that your Spirit would help us to cling to you and to live humble lives that bring glory and honor to your name. And Father, most of all, thank you for your Son, Jesus. Lord, we did not deserve salvation. We did not deserve eternal life, but you gave it through your Son. So thank you for that, God. Lord, we love you and we praise you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.